a concert, a live concert with some of the people? That would be awesome.
Cool.
So let us know.
Will do. And, awesome. You know, perhaps via the Rankin connection, our paths may cross at some point.
Perhaps. And I look forward to that if it does, in fact, happen.
Awesome.
And that was my interview with Mike Pekow, who put together the fantastic Record of the Week disc. It's available at most fine record stores, and I'm going to leave you with the track Come Forth today. Thank you so much for listening to the Arts Report as usual. If you want to call in and get that last pair of tickets to the Saturday Vancouver Folk Festival, you can call in now. It's 822-2487. This is Tracy Fuller signing off. Have a great week.
Black Bull by Lynn Crosby. Elvis is Alive, National Examiner, August 1986. This will be the last summer we spend outside here. The one great patio bar with pool tables, a severed bull's head, and room upstairs where William and Marjorie once sold books and scraps of paper for dope, cooking one potato each day, the sun blocked out with lace curtains. I first met Steve Goof and wore all of his rings, dragon's skull, and silver urchins while he chalked his cue and swept off his coat, black, lined in lurid red, matador. A skinhead, skins tattooed to his forehead, followed me out onto the street, still carrying his pitcher, offering me a handkerchief covered in someone else's blood, because your eyes are so sad. We invited Lisa's mother, who smoked sweet caporals, drank straight gin. Greg held my ankles in the high Roman fashion, my legs in Egyptian tights on his lap. He traced the sphere of the ankh, his dog panting beside us. "You're a good girl," he said, and I saw the hieroglyph on her head, a diamond. There was a cloudburst, and we stayed out in the rain without umbrellas, talking about love. Janet brushing away her black forelock, explaining ecstasy. "You are so beautiful, you want to kiss yourself." The summer drenching our bare legs, stretching on and on. My birthday we have met to celebrate. Our impending trip to Memphis. Four girls in tight tiger dresses and backcombed hair. There is some breeze. Our eyes are outlined like cats. The cat fight we will have in Kentucky. Three Leos and one Scorpio in tears. Carol curled up on the back seat. Elvis used to yell, "I walk cat-like. At the grave we are kittenish. As if someone has died." Evening. I'm JC Peters, and you're listening to Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Playing in the background is a little Minmal, a band from Portland, Oregon. And this is your Canadian writing show every Wednesday at 6 p.m. It's Audio Text with me, JC Peters, and I read a little poetry, explain a bit about it. I'll play some spoken word recordings that I've collected from events around Vancouver or, in the case of this show, other cities. And I also do listings so that all of those of you who are interested in local poetry, storytelling, whatever it is, who want to sort of be there in the flesh and see the live acts happening, you can get out there. I get a lot of these listings from thestrait.com. They have a good updated listings on their webpage. And Vancouver Poetry House also has some really good listings on their website. So you can always go check those out if you don't want to depend on me entirely. That being said, happening over the next week or so, tonight is Wednesday, July 15th. It's the third Wednesday of every month. Writers in the Round happens at Montmartre Cafe, 4362 Main Street. It's basically an open mic hosted by Kate Polsky, and the cover is $2. So if you want to go check out something a little different, a little surprising each week, you can go and do that at Cafe Montmartre on Main Street. This Friday, July 17th, Barbara Adler is having a solo show. She is a poet. She plays accordion in the band The Fugitives. She's a storyteller, all around a multifaceted kind of gal. She's really funny as well. She's doing her last solo show before she goes riding off into the wilderness on the back of a horse. So this show is happening at Café de Soleil, which is Commercial Drive and 5th, this Friday, July 17th at 9:30 p.m. I think the cover is around $5, so go and check that out for sure. This Monday, as always, every Monday there's a Vancouver Poetry Slam. Sometimes it's a themed slam. Last week was the Queer Slam, and I'll be bringing some of that to you next week. This Monday coming up is going to be featuring Yehuda Fisher, so be sure to check that out. That's again at Café de Soleil on Commercial Drive, Commercial and 5th. Also happening this Monday, July 20th, it's just once a month, it's every third Monday, I guess. It's the Twisted Poets Literary Salon at Bump and Grind, which is Commercial in Venables. It's a little cafe, and that's hosted by Pandora's Collective, so it's a little bit of a different poetry thing happening on the same night, on the same drive. So if you want to expand out from the slam a little bit and try something different, try Twisted Poets. I also wanted to mention that with my freshly minted yoga certificate, I'm going to be teaching a workshop called Yoga for Writers. It's going to be a 5-week workshop dedicated to the emotional and physical particularities of creative folks like writers who do things like sit all day and get headaches because they can't get new ideas. And yoga is actually incredibly helpful in getting sort of creative juices flowing and just getting some body awareness happening and gaining new perspective and breaking through emotional blockages. So it's going to be a 5-week course. Each week will have a different theme and focus. And I would love to see some of you there if you're writers as well or just creative folks in general and want to do something involving your body that might help you with your writing. So that's going to be happening at Eastside Yoga Studios starting on July 28th on Tuesday, and it's going to be Tuesdays at 7:30 for an hour and a half. And the studio is at 1707 Grant Street, which is just east of Commercial Drive. $65 for the whole 5 weeks, and drop-ins are welcome. So you can check out my website for more information on that. JCPeters.ca and contact me there. So, now that that's all said and done. Today I'm going to be playing some poetry from Toronto. I was in Toronto very briefly over the past week visiting my really awesome grandfather who loves poetry. I sometimes send him some on email and he loves getting it. But I did get a chance to go to the Toronto Poetry Slam, and I thought how fascinating to, you know, be familiar with the Vancouver Poetry Slam and go to Toronto and see what kind of vibe they've got going on. So I recorded everything and I took a few samples from that. So today you can just get a sense of what they're up to in Toronto. So this first poet is called Celeste.
Let's say that wish you made when you were in grade 5 came true, when Back to the Future was first seen, and there it was, your very own time machine. Where would you go? Because as much as I try to live in the here, to be in the now, to count each breath and not to project, to enjoy what this moment has to offer, I would go back. But not to fight oppression wearing bell bottoms and daisies in my hair, to play with Dylan and punch my fist in the air saying, I was there! As great as that would be, that just wouldn't be me. And I wouldn't go back to the Holy Land either, to wear sandals with Mr. H. Christ, to watch him turn the water to wine so I would have a reason to believe that the Savior was mine. No thanks. No thank you. That just wouldn't be great. If I had a time machine, I'd set the dial for 1988. I mean, 87 would do, and 1989 would be fine, because basically I'd want to find myself around the age of 7, 8, or 9. I'd want to find myself in school, sitting in a desk that's in a row, and I'd walk right in past Miss Turkington, who was writing cursive on the board, and I'd kneel right in, look at my 7, 8, or 9-year-old face, and say, school is important, and very ridiculous. What your teacher thinks about you doesn't matter, even if they think differently. Having good lunches isn't as important as having good things to say. Bullies are bullies because they're unloved. Most people do get nicer as they grow up, and don't worry about learning your multiplication tables, because everyone will have a calculator on their phone in 20 years. And then I'd walk out, maybe give you Miss Turkington a high five, leaving 7, 8, or 9-year-old me a little confused, a little scared, a little more alive. And then I'd hop back into my time machine, set the dial for one day later than today, write down the lottery numbers, pay off my student debt, and live happily. Because I know that education, like money, can't make you happy. It's what you do with it that can.
Yeah.
That was Celeste. One thing I did notice that was a little different about the Toronto Poetry Slam is that the girls really represented. There tend to be more men than women at the Vancouver Poetry Slam on many nights, so it was kind of nice to see a lot of women kind of sort of dominating the night. I do have one male poet, but the next one was actually the winner of the slam. This is Kiki.
For the woman on the corner of Augusta and College.
Oh, yeah.
She's perched like a pigeon on a corner. This lovely little bird with eagle eyes is scouting out her usual location. Arms stretched, palms open, jaw flexed, trying to end her starvation, longing for a simpler time. See, she's one of those who clipped her wings long ago and still knows how to fly high, yet dreams of becoming a phoenix but will never rise from the ashes of her burning kingdom. So she walks the streets, dotted by boot prints, painted with cheap tricks, littered with whispers and dreams of yesterday, and presses her head to the ground to hear the heartbeat of the city, to see if it's still alive and beating because she's dying inside. And once upon a time, beauty, this queen, now hustles the streets, begging for change, although the change of true value can only be found within. Yet she treads along the pavement, gray like the haze over the Toronto sky, like her clouded mind once bright, now dismal and fried, for she inhaled the dust shaken off of angels' wings slowly, and drifted amongst the endless rows of delicate snowbanks that she lined up and ingested, bank after bank after bank that emptied her bank and left her with no sense. It's common. Like those who came before her who were lined up and knocked down, she's been bowled over like pins and anticipates the strike of the next needle, waits to taste the sweet nectar as it flows through her veins like dewdrops on honeysuckles in spring. She waits to taste it, back pressed against the wall, skin touching pavement, paving her way to some payment. She waits to taste it. Twitches, tries to maintain composure under the glare of the hot sun and the passers-by who pass her by without saying so much a word. Silly bird. She keeps pecking and pacing, sweeping the streets with her desperate pleas, but comes up empty. And that emptiness echoes, breaking the silence like the sound her glass slipper made when it shattered, and she was cast aside like shadows and crumbs for the birds. Another night gone hungry. Another night dying emotionally. Another night. Another night. I'm not sure she'll make it through this night. See, she's a street sweeper. Even her streets don't want to keep her, so she's being swept away like dust under a rug and cobwebs. In the corners of her mind, she's abandoned and long forgotten. She's a street sweeper, covered under layers of ignorance that cloak her brilliance like a thick blanket, but it's transparent and provides her with no warmth. This once upon a time, beauty's time is up, and so she's drowning, caught up and swept away by the undertow in a sea of endless faces. Nameless sweepers and dream weavers, movers and shakers, deal breakers and life takers. She's a street sweeper, a street sweeper, and she's fading. She's a street sweeper, a street sweeper. She's a street sweeper, and she's fading away to dust.
I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station.
Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on.
College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Yes, to college radio. That's what you're listening to right now. Next up, I'm going to play the one male poet that I have for today. His name is Michael Lipsius, and he was kind of the sweetheart of the night for just me and my group of friends. He actually didn't make it to the second round, but we all kind of thought that this poem was pretty amazing, so we'll see what you think of it.
A Monday night of stagnation, of maybe writing, of drinking cheap beer, watching Monday Night Football, and then you see her. Hi, Michael, do you remember me? And I do, though I barely recognize her now smoking hot body as she tells me stories of working as a lawyer. All I can think is, if only you had balls. Back in the day, you found her cute, but you had no balls. You heard sometimes her smile and her cheerfulness, it would give you a hard-on, but it didn't matter, it was kept a secret because you had no balls. You went into denial whenever the boys wanted to talk about Melanie the cow. She was a touch too big, but you were the white boy who wanted to shout, "Baby got back!" But no, you had to go after the girls that you had no chance with as your self-esteem dropped. And then at that pool party, there's no way you would have the balls to say who you thought was the prettiest when all the other boys were talking about the fattest girl in a bathing suit. You never had a BBW fetish, but you thought she was the thing. If you had balls, you might be banging the hot rich chick tonight instead of watching a 16-3 football game alone or drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon.
That was Michael Lipsius. Next up, Truth Is, who is a member of the Toronto Poetry Project.
This is not a poem. This is a memory to honor death, life's most defining moment by living. I will. Shit, I was never foolish enough to believe it would last any longer than it will. So listen, spit in the ditch, you might find my body, and if it means dandelions will sprout, we need more to make wishes on anyways. This is a movement, not for the forgotten, but for the forgotten, to gather and band. Together we will unlock the heart of the city, welcome strangers into the four chambers, and rewrite all its history. Invite all to be merry in the halls of our open arms. Gather, but do not shuffle like the arch guards we will build our skyscraping memorials with. Move. Pick up the goals you have yet to score. Drop your anchors and run until you have no more ideas. This is not a poem. This is a call to the empty. Dig your fingers into her body and squeeze until blood crowns the surface your palm, respect her. She will give you back a life. Reskin the drum inside your chest and play alongside your ribcage that plays like xylophones when shaving away the moments between here and the hereafter. Untroubled skin well after 5 p.m. when the real shadows creep in is a reality. You're not alone. This is not a poem. Because I cannot write poetry for nouns who treat me good. I cannot write poetry for nouns who bring me life. So this is a Dear John letter to happiness. Crumpled into corners next to the unattended wastebasket of maybes. Next to my self-confidence. Next to myself. Fuck you. You are killing my creativity. Stamped, signed, sealed, and settling to the bottom of the declaration that this is it. Merely an account of time before it breathed comfort into uncertainty, into what could have been, what could be. I was only certain that you would hear this now. So I have no other present to offer you.
That was Truth Is, along with a bunch of other Toronto poets at the Toronto Poetry Slam. So hopefully you got a little taste of what the slam scene sounds like in Toronto. It's definitely a little different from what you'd see in Vancouver. So it was just an interesting exercise to go and check it out and see what kind of different poetry comes up and how the crowd was different. They were a little more subdued. It was a different venue. It was just kind of interesting to see if you go to Café du Soleil on Mondays often. It's a different kind of vibe for sure, and just great for me to go and check it out. So since we're talking about Toronto, I thought that I would end the show by reading a few more poems by Lynn Crosby, who I consider to be very much a Toronto poet. She's actually from Montreal originally, but lived in Toronto for many years, and I actually wrote my honors thesis in undergrad on the piece that I'm going to be reading from, which is a long poem called Alphabet City, in which there are 27 poems, each starting with a different letter of the alphabet and then an ampersand. And she kind of maps out her Toronto, her kind of underground punk life in Toronto. And it's, Toronto is often seen as a place where people from Hollywood come to pretend that the city is, New York or Seattle or, Boston or somewhere cool and not Canadian, because Canada, it doesn't have too much of a unique kind of physical landscape that's really recognizable in Hollywood films. And Lynn Crosby sort of saw this as a problem and wanted to write out her Toronto in a really unique and very, very personal way. It's kind of confessional poetry. So I'm just going to read a few of these letters so that you can get a sense of what Lynn Crosby's Toronto was like. Again, this is from her book Queen Rat, New and Selected Poems, and the name of the piece itself is Alphabet City. Danforth. Immensity is within ourselves. Bachelard. I now seek a phenomenological determination of images. Calamari, the contours of the octopus head, its tentacles push the currents like the images that provoke dreams of rounded flesh, undulating limbs that caress and asphyxiate. The membranous skin is dotted a Morse code. 8 trips to the Danforth for black olives, feta cheese, the Virgin Mary in a circle of red and gold, to visit the Moon Cave, 1987. The small back room is dark and blue, plaster stalactites hang from the ceiling, there is the sound of bats. The Moon Cave cocktail is aquamarine, the accordion player performs national anthems of the world, comes over and offers to play something gypsy, a serenade. The caves of the moon that curve beyond the pale lakes, a rustle of wings, the taste of sapphires, the sense of an immensity within you, the earth that dreams the moon each night suspended from the limestone lip, the liminal sky. Fort Goof, 1985 to 91. They told me he was bad, but I knew he was sad. I'll never forget him, the leader of the pack, the Shangri-Las. I had met him before, opening a car with a coat hanger other times. He and his big dog, Dirt, all of them roaming the streets on skateboards, bicycles, in armor, chain belts, big black boots, that he slept in a cage in a space fortressed by electrical wire, gangplank entrance off Baldwin Street, skittering across this in high heels night after night, half in love. Coming over after hours, standing on the slag roof by the hills of wheel-spoked metal cans, one derelict Mercedes, two stars visible, he spills peach schnapps into my mouth from his bliss. Wet muzzles of dogs on my ankles, random killings, trying to keep a low profile for almost 7 years. Coaxing him to read his lyrics for us, my head on the dog's belly, a long flowered dress. Started out as recreational, now it's getting quite habitual. To draw him like a hermit crab outside of himself. Kick this. Be a man for once in your life and see me to the door. Kick that. Higher. With inappropriate presents of lavender bath salts and white roses, chocolate hearts in foil, the night he has planned to have me and five scared friends thrashed for violating the code. I'm heat score, he says, and I smile. His friends paw the floors, anxious. Later, he falls to his knees. I'm sorry, drunk, he would save my life several times, film me in handcuffs, Cisco coming up the stairs looking for some action in Goof's Take 29. I am merely holding the cuffs and am therefore not compromising myself, I say. It is 6 a.m. and time to weave out through the alleys. In my gown, I am quite soigné, and I have a little lie down in an alley before two kind policemen pick me up and drive me home. I imagine that there were rats lying like tiny babies in my arms, like dolls, pills and drinking less and less food, alcoholiday turned alcoholicost, the song that he read when I lay in that gutter looking at the stars, etc. Besieged by skinheads, we are 138 strong and we will kill you. I see a little crown when I pass by where it ended and began. With sledgehammers and chainsaws, his eyes looking ahead, somewhere clear, a clean table, plexiglass shower, plants, and casement window. I am invited to Dirt's wake this May, with more flowers, a round of toast to the dog that died in Mexico, lolling in the sun and startled by all the water, the purity. Clean white bed he slips neatly into each night, hair still shaved in the one thin line. I cross to meet him like a pirate wild for the black flag that signals danger, night riders, the other marauder, who turns around and smiles at you over shark fins, water as black as your treacherous heart. So that was a very short selection from Lynn Crosby's Alphabet City from Queen Rat New and Selected Poems, published by Anansi Press, House of Anansi Press. So that comes to the end of another day of audio text. Thanks again for listening. I am JC Peters. You can podcast this show from jcpeters.ca, citr.ca, or you can join the Facebook group called Audio Text, and I email out the podcast each week. So if you absolutely love the show but are kind of lazy and forget things, I can take care of that for you. So thanks again for listening. It's Wednesday, July 15th. Coming up next is The Canadian Way.
draw.